actually got one of his shirts. I'm the only person that actually wears those things. Straight to Gold, your one-stop shop for across the ring and across the pond of NXT and NXT UK content. Global boys here. We're going to talk about the wrestling's all over. It's a lot of things happening, transition periods, but it's all good. I want to give a shout out to everyone watching and streaming live on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. But as always, I can't do this alone. Please welcome the star of the Real Jack Farmer Twitch channel. Real Jack Farmer, what's up, buddy?
I'm glad you're finally getting this introduction in line. You're finally getting in place. The building blocks are there. We almost got it just right, but a pleasure to be here. Lots of stuff happening, whether it be rebrands, renewals, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, well, speaking of that Twitch channel, I was all there yesterday. You were doing a live watch along of AEW Dynamite, like the views, feel the boom, Dynamite. What's it like, though, having a camera on your face while you're watching wrestling in real time?
It depends how active the chat is.
Fair enough.
When no one's involved, it gets a little awkward. But you know what? To pull back the curtain, doesn't matter. I've got a contract with Twitch. I've got to put a certain number of hours up, Flobo. I got to do a certain number of hours of streaming. So every now and again, it's nice to just stock up a couple of hours watching wrestling.
I hear you. Twitch.tv/RealJackFarmer. NXT, NXT UK. We all know Europe is happening sometime next year. Nondescript, but we're in the process of us making it happen. Worlds Collides announced, unifying titles. NXT to UK is showing the tournament that got spoiled a couple weeks ago. It kind of has that last day of school vibe for me, man. It kind of, I'm here. I'm in the seat, but am I really engaged with the brand?
Yeah, it's difficult. Before going on air, to pull back more curtains, we were saying that if we knew nothing about what was happening, this would have been one of the greatest episodes NXT UK has put together. I mean, they had just three incredible matches that were just this was awesome. But you're right, there is a little bit of that last day of school, this is things wrapping up, kind of getting those last homeworks in. And I think it's sad, you know. I don't know what the NXT Europe rebrand is going to be. I do think calling it NXT Europe makes a lot more sense because so many of the people are from across Europe and not just UK. I think the branding makes sense. I just don't know what a rebrand looks like in Europe. Obviously, after Black and Gold to 2.0, we know things can get very different during a rebrand. I hope it doesn't. I like what we have. I hope it's just a bigger, more well-produced, not even more well-produced, I guess just bigger budget so than well-produced.
First of all, I want to thank you for saying peel them at the curtain and not using the obvious pun of pulling back the drapes. And second of all, when I hear NXT Europe, I think of NFL Europe from the 90s, where all these like flames and old graphics and dragons and stuff who come on the screen, you know, kind of over the top.
Well, that might not be too far off when you look at Clash the Castle and all of their branding.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. The actual dragon. I thought they were Australian. Okay, that's a deep cut for another show.
Yes.
Well, let's get into this title tournament first, because we have our main event for the Heritage Cup, but the title tournament is going on, even though we've seen the winner in NXT 2.0 for the past 2 weeks. Trent Seven takes on my boy, Oliver Carter, and well, Jack, you called it, the injury was in play here. To me, the match was pretty solid, and I wonder a question I had about this a year ago when they put, or 2 years ago, when they put Ashton Smith with Oliver Carter. Is Oliver Carter a bona fide singles competitor, or is he just one half of a tag team? I think today I got my answer.
Yeah, I think Oliver Carter put up a really incredible fight and made a believer out of, I would say, even the staunchest of critics and doubters of his ability to compete in a singles division while Ashton Smith recovers. I think he did a great job, and I think had things been a little different, he may have gotten a different outcome, but he was in there with Trent Seven, the savior of British sport, who is just too much here. I don't think there's a soul alive who could have gone into that match with Trent Seven with that kind of injury and come out with a win. So, I mean, Seven's too good. He's too smart. Oliver Carter, I think, did himself a lot of favors as far as proving what he can do singles wise. And I think that this is one of those situations where both guys came out looking like $1 million.
I'm not gonna let you go away with you saying the savior of British sport. I think Lewis Hamilton would have to have a word with that. It's the savior of British sport, like it was in the doldrums without Trent Seven. Is that what you're saying?
Lewis Hamilton. Yeah, I think he would like a word to say how great Trent Seven is, and just like if I could have a word, maybe bigger than British sport.
Wow.
Maybe NXT Europe sport.
That's a deep cut or a forward deep cut. I'm looking at the chat right now, and apparently Dragons are going afoot here. It looks like Australia has loaned out a dragon to WWE for Clash. And then Mon says the Welsh flag has a dragon. And because I'm an old nerd, I would say it's actually a wyvern, not a dragon. But that's another issue for another time. I thought the match was pretty solid.
Duh. Who
yeah, Mon. Everyone knows what a wyvern is. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
to me, the match is solid, and I think that I was saying this before we went live. I said I don't usually get upset about spoilers because when it comes to wrestling, I feel like if you tell the story in the ring, the story should be great. But I really felt the first time in a long time, knowing who won the tournament, really cut this tournament off at the knees. And I think this match will go by the wayside because we're going to get the finals. We got Trent Seven, we got Tyler Bate. Oops, sorry, spoil that too. But I do think the efforts of Joe Coffey, the efforts of Oliver Carter will go off to the ether.
I agree because, for me, spoilers hurt wrestling for me. If I know what's going to happen, it does hurt the show for me personally.
Yeah.
And in this case, more so because I think the fact that this tournament was so wide open, I could have seen all four of them going the distance in this one. And the fact that these matches were so tightly contested and they were so good that that really hurt this matchup, if it was someone who maybe doesn't win as often in there outside of Joe Coffey or someone else, maybe it wouldn't have been as bad. But because this was such a wide open tournament, it really hurt the overall viewing of it.
So let's get to the other side of the bracket. Tyler Bate takes on Joe Coffey, the Iron King. And even going into this one could have been something I would say Joe Coffey would be in a must-win situation. There is somebody that was always a bridesmaid when it comes to this sort of championship. But Tyler Bate's a big, strong boy. Or he said this week, a strong man, 25 years old, thighs on 1,000, gets the dub here, easily match a night for me. What do you think?
Yeah, when Tyler Bate said that, I was thinking, as I was watching this, I felt like he should have said, I started this company as a big, strong boy. Now at 25, I'm still a boy. I'm still not.
I'm working on it. I'm going
25 is still very young.
I have time.
But Tyler Bate, man, he beat one of UK's greatest in a slugfest. And I think we'll talk about Tyler Bate, obviously, going forward. But Joe Coffey, I left this match thinking about Joe Coffey and how it's gutting to never see him as the NXT UK champion. But I still think that said that Joe Coffey is one of the vertebrae in the backbone of NXT UK and its history. If he's never going to be the champion NXT UK, then he's the Mr. Perfect of NXT UK. He's the Roddy Piper. He's the Ted DiBiase. He's the British Bulldog. He's such an important part of that brand and hopefully in that brand's future. That I think that even though he's never been the NXT UK champion, I still think he ranks up there as just as important as any of the four guys who did hold the title.
Joe Coffey getting the flowers from real Jack Farmer. I'm looking at Wikipedia right now about his opponent, Tyler Bate, which one, it's actually his real name. That's going to change sooner rather than later.
Oh, what's his name going to be, do you think?
I have no idea. I mean, Tyler Bate works. Like, dun, dun, dun. I have no idea. Let me know in the chat below if you had a chance to rename Tyler Bate. I'll take any and all suggestions. But it says here he was born March 7th, 1997. What were you doing on March 7th, 1997? Jack.
I too was born.
I too was born. Were you cognizant? Hello, mother. It is
I'm embarrassed to say what I was doing in 1997.
What was I doing? If it was the mid to late 90s, I was probably asking my parents for a skip it. That's the majority of my decade.
I'll play it safe and say I was probably playing WCW NWO Revenge in 1997.
Oh, that makes sense because 64 came out in 96. So yeah.
Yeah.
If you weren't just born then.
Or World Tour. I can't remember the dates when they came out. Maybe a Golden Eye. My friends and I would play Golden Eye constantly.
That, well, Dylan says just call him Bate. I'm not sure you can because Bate is his actual surname. So I'm not sure if they would do that. So keeping with the late period Vince era, is that going to be a thing? Do we call it the Vince era or whatever? Or is that a
I don't correct? Think you can call it Vince era for a long time because it's 99% of the history of the company.
The Vince administration. That's
yeah, it's a little odd to say.
Okay. So anyway, the match was great. I loved it. I thought it was a match of the night, hands down. I was on a thrill ride. I do think Tyler Bate, and we'll get to that later, 2.0, is the one that I think understands both styles the best. Understands 2.0, understands NXT UK, and I think that makes him super valuable for a brand or any kind of brand.
I think Tyler Bate's fantastic. I agree. I think they could have brought him stateside years ago. I think he's someone that I will probably capture the hearts and minds of many people stateside. I can see him being wildly popular, and I think that he's one of those guys that I don't think is going to let the moment be too big for him when he does get those big moments. I think he wrestles well. I think he looks different. I think because of his size, kids will love him much the same way they like Rey Mysterio. I think he's a slam dunk. Plus, the absolute pillar of the thigh guys. I mean, those are the thighs that hold the thigh guys up. Like okay. Atlas holding the world.
All right.
It's Tyler.
You've been obsessed about thighs forever. Why? What made you go, you know what I want to look at, guys? Their thighs. Why'd you start the thigh guy club there, Jack?
I just, you know, I see all these guys working on their biceps. What do biceps do? You know, I'm looking on their chest. Yeah, we've seen that. But good thighs, that's it takes, you got to put the work in to get thighs. No skipping leg day for these guys. Tyler Bateman. Oh. Tyler Bate. Not, I'm sorry, in SoCal, there's a.
Fripp says, I hate puns. I think Bryan Danielson is the best comparison to where Tyler can go. Now that's a spicy take there, Jackery.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an interesting take there. They do have a similar style, I think, as far as being on the microphone goes, in that they're not going to growl at you, but they can bring intensity when they need to. They can cool it down when they need to. They definitely have a more "this is who I really am" kind of presence on the microphone, as far as instead of the Ultimate Warrior, we'll say, style of promo. So, well, I don't know. I could see it.
The more I think about it, the more it's actually true, because they come out to like very like non-threatening theme songs, but then they can absolutely stretch you out. So props to that.
I mean, not only is Tyler Bates' music not threatening, it's a groove.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to get a four-way dance for the women's number one contendership. I think it's kind of a moot point, but it just your opinion. Who thinks going to walk away with the victory here?
I am picking the person I would have picked had nothing changed. I'm picking the person that I've always known is going to be the person to win that title, whether it be the way it is now or whether it be the way it was. And that's the person that was born to be the one to win the championship, Blair Davenport. The fact that we should give her flowers for being so patient with us and being so patient with the WWE. I mean, she should have won the title months ago, but then because she got hurt, she had to wait. Then she should have won the title when she came back, but Mako Satomura was ducking and diving, and then she should have won it here in the NXT UK, but now Mako making a run for the States to try to get away from her, but Blair Davenport chasing her down. Blair Davenport is who I would have picked, who I'm going to pick, and who is going to win. Blair Davenport is the heir to the gold.
It's funny because you were telling me that, and I was doing the Steve Harvey thing, like, oh, man, I just walked into that one. I knew that Blair. Why'd I even ask him? okay, fine. Let's look at our main event here. Heritage Cup rules. Noam Dar, Mark Coffey, a rematch. First defense here for Coffey the Younger. And I really thought that Mark would have retained, but due to some ingenuity and some shenanigans, Jack, we have ourselves a new Heritage Cup champion in Noam Dar.
Was this the best Heritage Cup championship match of all time? If this is the last one, this one was good. these guys went at it. This was fantastic. My favorite part, though, is just how honest of a person Shaw Samuels is. How good of a guy Shaw Samuels is. See, no matter because of Mark Coffey, he owed people a lot of money. But no matter how broke he was, he paid every single person back. But let me ask you, Flobo boys, how do you like that payback? That was the best way to end the Heritage Cup Championship, with Shaw Samuels finally making good. Noam Dar being the champion yet again. It is a great day in the Heritage Cup division.
Okay, so now I'm conflicted because Shaw Samuels is a nice guy and you can really prove loyalty there. But at the same time, though, getting involved so late in a matchup after Noam Dar was trying to say he's so smart that he stole away a fall to begin with, I don't think Shaw Samuels needed to be there. And I really think it really tipped the scales and it was an unfair contest, thereby besmirching the heritage of the Heritage Cup.
Wait, are you saying that just because Noam Dar was hurt? He was injured in this day and age. Like, you think they should have just rushed him back into competing there?
Just to stop the match. Match
gotta,
been over.
You've got to give him a chance. You got to. Well, you know what? Maybe they would
stand.
You know what? Maybe they would have. But this has actually been a problem with Gallus for a long time. And hopefully, this time they change it. You saw the same thing with Wolfgang. He didn't want to take advantage of the downed Dragunov, costing the match. Mark Coffey did the same thing, should have taken advantage of Noam Dar when Noam Dar was down, but he didn't. And Noam Dar, even through all the damage he had taken, he figured out a way to get a pinfall. That's why he's the champ. That's why he's the longest reigning Heritage Cup champion, the only two-time Heritage Cup champion. And I think he's going to A-Kid. I seen A-Kid may have snuck another one in there if I couldn't remember, but
I wore it last weekend. What?
No, but he had a time, didn't he? He was close to winning it a second time. Anyways, the point is, Noam Dar, the Heritage Cup champion's champion, the greatest Heritage Cup champion of all time, period.
The greatest. I mean, there's only been like four of them, right? Three of them, four of them.
I wouldn't use that rationale for saying that it's not a big deal, because that's the exact same thing as the UK championship.
And that's debatable, because I still say I'm still a Pete Dunne fan, even though it's pretty much Walter's championship. I will admit that. But that's besides the point. So
let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this.
Off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. Who's your Mount Rushmore of NXT UK wrestlers?
My Mount Rushmore, like the ones I like the most,
or who would be the official? Would you say, would it be the four champions, or would it be?
No, you mean like the current roster? Or like if I'm saying like, I was make a DVD of the best of NXT UK,
best of NXT UK. If you were to go from its inception today, who are the four?
It would be Dunn. Oh, four, right? Shoot, because I was going to say Dunn, Walter, Mustache Mountain, and Kaylee Ray, but Mustache Mountain's two guys, so. I would say Dunn, Walter, Kaylee Ray, and, well, my boy, Atcha Smith. Why not? I'll put him in the back. Frim says Tyler, Trent, Walter, Pete. But I think the women's division is the strongest women's division on broadcast television. That's why I think there'd be some representation there. But Frim is not wrong. He's not wrong at all.
Yeah. I think that might be one of the tougher ones to make, because I also feel like Joe Coffey needs to be up there somewhere. I feel like He maybe never won the title, but he always felt like what the brand was built around in a lot of ways.
And there's some guys that I feel are that way, even though their win-loss records weren't great. Like, to me, there is nothing more British looking than Dave Mastiff. Like, he looks British AF. But it's like, well, has he been in the conversation for the past 18 months? He hasn't. It's like,
Yeah.
Just last one more thing about this Heritage Cup title. Do you think that's even going to make a comeback or be reinvigorated in the NXT Europe? Just an opinion, a thought.
I hope it comes back. It's my favorite non-world title division. I think these matches are so fun to watch. I love these matches. I love this one. I think the way that because of the way it's structured, it makes it that you basically get more action. I feel like you get more action, more strategy, more thought into what's happening. They're my favorite matches. It's my favorite non-world title division, I think.
Dylan Matthews trolling me saying Shaw Samuels, Eddie Dennis, Noam Dar, Nina Samuels. Oh, the Samuels aren't related, but that's something Jack would approve.
Yeah, I guess Dylan Matthews, this, once again, showing your wrestling IQ. I think that's a very good list.
One more thing before we move on to 2.0. It was kind of cool and sad. They did a little package about the brand and where it started from. I'm not sure if you ever had the time to go back to like the first year or whatever, but to see that show grow, this show, NXT UK, go from like CD clubs and venues to being the pandemic best of show to being this studio show, it is kind of like, I don't know, messed up that it's going to be done in its current form, man.
It's really sad. This one is really hitting me hard. I think because it felt like they were doing such good things and they were growing out of the pandemic and they had finally gotten fans back. And I think because this show feels like it has such heart and the fan base is such a good fan base as far as promoting it and loving it without being negative about other places and whatnot. And just, it felt like just it's very sad to see this one go. I really, really enjoyed this. I really enjoy this brand. And so I hope the NXT Europe is better. I hope it blows this out of the water. You always hope the next thing is going to be better than what you're getting now, but I'm very sad that NXT UK is gone and it'll probably have a little spot in my heart, much like a Lucha Underground will for the rest of its days. And much like late period WCW will, I think that the NXT will definitely have a place in my heart for a long time. Cause it was I think it was something special. And I know we got one more week, so I don't want to give too many goodbyes, but definitely appreciate you driving it into me to start watching it. Cause I was the American I always make fun of. Like, I got American wrestling. I don't need UK wrestling.
Is Braun Breaker, is that you? That was so awkward.
Legatos.
Legatos. All right. Well, usually when I go to 2.0, I start off with the biggest social media moment based on impressions. And well, I wanted to count this week because there's so many things that could have gone viral in that sense. Joseph Jack Farber, let me ask you, can you guess, you think the most social media heavy moment of NXT 2.0 this week?
I'm going to say it was Indy Heart Index.
Before I get to that, I want to give shout out to Frib, who said 5,700 miles in total. And they have kilometers over there. He drove to various UK tapings. So many great evenings. That's pretty cool.
Oh, man, Frib, that's awesome. Too bad. I would have loved to have had the opportunity to have gotten to an NXT UK show and meet some of those fans there. That just seems like such a great atmosphere. Also, by the way, shout out Dylan Matthews in the chat. Long live Wrestling Society X. Yes, I was a fan of that too, though. No, I'll be honest, it doesn't have a place in my heart like these places, but I didn't
have cable at the time. But WWE,
I actually watched it later, to be honest.
But you're right. Yes, Index. Index was the most social media moment of the week. A love story in three parts. Indy Hartwell's is suffering a really awkward defeat, I thought, and she was not feeling herself, but her man showed up with photos before he gave himself in, which is weird because they were in Canada Monday. So he crossed international borders to turn himself in. It was really cute. What do you thought? What do you think about that?
I loved this.
Did you?
I did.
I thought you have a heart of stone.
And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I love this. And this is going to be a little different than most of my analysis on this show, but I think it definitely bears.
I have a reason.
One, Blair Davenport. I love that we're talking about Indy.
Yeah, but yes. She lost to Blair Davenport. Okay, go ahead.
I do love that Blair Davenport got the win. But I love the reveal because it popped me. Like, oh, Dexter's there. What a fun surprise. What a cool way they did that. I thought the whole thing was done very well. I liked that there was consequences for him being there because he kidnapped somebody. So I like that he was like, I like that they arrested him. He's a criminal. He's a cold-blooded criminal.
He kidnapped somebody.
And he said, I've got to go for now. And the what I like about this is, and again, this is different than how I typically analyze things, but Dexter Lumis, the whole thing with Indy was Dexter was gone, but we're seeing him on Raw. So you like, why isn't he talking to Indy? Well, this ties up a loose end to me. And to me, it tells me that there is care being given to different things happening, and that they're not going to just write things off, and we're not just going to forget about certain things. They tied up a loose end, and to me, as an overall thing within WWE, that says a lot of good things, knowing that they're not just going to say, ah, forget it, that's over. Like, they tied up a loose end across brands, to me, gives me as a viewer a lot of goodwill and faith into what they're going to be doing when they do things in the future. So now when something's teased, I'm going to go, okay, I'll give it time. Whereas in the past, I may have said, oh, this is dumb. You know what I mean?
I'm totally with you, but that does answers that asks that begs the question of how deep this rabbit hole goes, because there's a one storyline on Monday where The Miz is technically kidnapped. And no one knows where The Miz is. And so there's also the end or the pause of the romance on Tuesday night. Does Indy go to Raw to have that finish? Are we saying they're done and going separate? Indy's complaining she lost matches. How does it translate to the ring? I got questions.
I think this was simply a nod to the viewing audience who have been paying attention to this for a long time and didn't get the closure that we would have liked to have gotten when they originally aired this because of things that happen in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is going to translate to the ring. I don't think we're going to see it continue anymore. This was our finale of that story. This was that tying up that loose end. Now, if things work out that Indy gets drafted somewhere or they end up on the same brand, maybe it picks up again. But I think this was their way of saying this chapter is closed. Now we're moving on to the next thing. But now, as a viewer, when I see Dexter, I'm not like, why isn't he talking to Indy? And when I look at Indy, I'm like, why isn't she calling Dexter? Why is she acting sad? They closed up a loose end, and I like that as a viewer.
As my broadcast colleague, Real Jack Farmer, says, speaking of loose ends, our main event this week is a PG Lights Out match. I didn't know what to expect, especially after AEW's Lights Out matches. But what I got was everything. We got ourselves Legos. We got ourselves beds. We got Wendy Chu and Street Fight jammies. Finally putting that evil Tiffany Stratton to bed. Jack Farmer, talk to me. That match was dope, wasn't it?
I can't believe that we still have to, we have this happening. Even the WWE is like, turn off the lights. We're not sanctioning this. Wendy Chu is a menace and needs to be shut down. Tiffany Stratton fighting for her life out there. Where was security? Should have stopped this. Wendy Chu, an absolute menace. Hopefully now Wendy Chu got it out of her system and can move on. And by move on, I mean, go take a nap. And Tiffany Stratton can do what she said she was going to do and start going after the title now that this is behind her.
Well, first of all, anyone who has braids like that deserves to get their ass kicked. But the question I have, Jack, is Wendy Chu was kind of at first a little goofy character, someone always sleeping, but now we're seeing a little bit of a mean streak. This could be chapter two for Wendy Chu.
That's the problem. That's why they need to stop her. She's got a mean streak. She's attacking people backstage. She's getting in altercations. She's getting in fights. I mean, this is the kind of thing that you need to stop. You need to get involved. I saw the chat you just put up there. Even Mox got anxious when he saw the Legos. Yeah, that's not okay. That's not okay. Wait, they're letting this happen? Where was security?
It was agreed to be non-sanctioned. I'm not sure how Lights Out matches work at NXT. This is the first one. Is it a dreamscape? I have no idea. I really don't know.
It was a nightmare to people who like true competitors like Tiffany Stratton. That's what it was.
She's not that. Thoughts about that, though? Do you think Lights Out matches can work again, or is that just a signature match for Chu?
I don't really get the Lights Out match thing. I don't really understand it. It's very much like, how is it different than Hardcore or Extreme Rules?
They're all the same. Hardcore, Extreme Rules, the street fight, Duchess of Queensberry.
So that's why I'm not. I just have a no rules match, right? If you're trying to tell me that it's unsanctioned,
right?
Then why are you broadcasting it? Why? All it's telling me is that they're trying to say, I think NXT and WWE is trying to save money on the budget and saying, we're not going to pay Tiffany Stratton for this. I think the reason it wasn't sanctioned is because I think even NXT knew that Wendy Chu is insane and attacking people. And I think you don't qualify. You haven't earned a shot at Tiffany Stratton. You've been sleeping all day. You haven't been putting in the work. You've been lying about like a lazy person. We're not giving you this matchup. Now, Tiffany Stratton, she's like, I got to put this behind me. So she dealt with it. But I think NXT should have, Sid Scalia would have stepped in. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So this blows my mind because you, by your own admission, are a late period WCW historian, and WCW Uncensored wasn't a whole night of that. Was that not?
Well, Flobo, I'm not gonna open up a history book.
Please do, because I don't. You know what? Forget it. I can't deal with you.
There's one thing I don't do. I don't like to dig up and drudge up old history.
That's exactly what you do every week on driftinggold.com.
I don't know what WCW has to do with any of this.
Okay, well, let's talk about the other moment that popped most of social media. There was a tag team match. Player, the Dyad taking on Cruz del Toro, Joaquin Wild. We got Cameron Grimes in the back. We'll talk about that in a second. But after the match, the Dyad won. It was the return of Santos Escobar, someone that had to leave NXT. There was talks, rumors, and swirls from the IWC in wrestling pundit community about Santos leaving Legado, but doesn't seem that's the case now. Jack Farmer, what's next for Legado?
I think the Legados are going to be moving on up to either Raw or SmackDown, and I think that they're going to take over that brand, whatever brand they're on. They are going to take the world by storm. I think, you know, you look at the ratings of NXT, and they are almost a quarter of what SmackDown gets. That means you're going to get like 1.5 million people who are about to fall in love with Santos Escobar and Legado del Fantasma. This is great.
Now, Dylan the chat says this was the right move. I like my boy Cruz. And although it was kind of funny when Tony D'Angelo was like, stop doing that flippy stuff. what? All right, wrestling purist Tony D'Angelo. I like the group. I like the idea. But I really feel like this could be a whole fresh start for Santos as a singles competitor. Wasn't that basically hamstring him having a whole faction on the main roster?
No, I think this is a great way to bring him in with some muscle. I think their presentation is great together, all of them together. And I think keeping them with that presentation is going to be a big aspect of Santos Escobar. Plus, when you have a tag team there, it gives you more freedom to get involved with different groups or factions, and you can focus on your tag team role and go for those tag team titles, or you can focus on a singles run, or you can get help when you need it. It gives him a lot more flexibility, and I think it's going to make Santos Escobar very interesting on the main roster.
Here's what I'm worried about, though. The tag team divisions on the main roster are wobbly. Electra Lopez has, not through no fault of her own, the least amount of experience as anyone in that group. Can they put themselves up for success, or a situation like the original Hit Row, where we go, maybe it was more the idea of the group than the group itself.
They absolutely can set themselves up for success. You talk about how it's a wobbly tag team division. That's how you take advantage of the tag team division. If it was a stacked, strong tag team division, how do they get the wins? But true. Now they've got people that they can steamroll, they can get momentum over. And at the end of the day, the tag team side of it is really just there to support Santos Escobar and to help him get momentum. So even if the tag team side of it is a short-lived thing, that's fine. You know, it's very similar to how Star Wars was there to help sell toys. You know what I mean?
Like from Kenner.
That's what it is.
I like it. Jack, this was born in 1997, but knows all about the story merchandising of Star Wars. But the other side of the tag team match was the Dyad and Joe
Gacy. The
Phantom
Menace is what I'm
yeah, sure. I was 2 years old when I saw that movie. Young boy Jack. The other side of this was the Dyad and Joe Gacy, the schism in that match. Well, Cameron Grimes had his own match against Big Body Javier Parnell, which is like the Intercontinental Champion level up, to be honest with you. Turns out they're doing a stare down back and forth. Cameron Grimes, somebody that when I see him, I go, it's Cameron Grimes, but hasn't really been in the conversation. Why does Joe Gacy want to hang out with Cameron Grimes so badly?
Because Joe Gacy wants to help people in need. Joe Gacy wants to take wayward souls who need guidance and help guide them and help usher them into a better life. And I know people can roll their eyes and people can say whatever about Joe Gacy, but I think you look at the dyad, the grizzled young veterans as they once were, and before Joe Gacy got into their lives, what were they doing? They were robbing DoorDash delivery drivers and scraping to get by and turn into a life of crime. And Joe Gacy gets involved, and now they're taking showers every day. They're not living off of stealing and doing bad things. They're living a good life, a good wholesome life. And I think that Gacy's like, I can see the trail that Cameron Grimes is going down. I can see what's happening here. You once were a rich title holder. Now you're scraping to get by. You're barely able to get a win. You need help. You need guidance. And the fact that Joe Gacy, what I love about him is he does this, but he's not like one of those social media influencers that like gives money to a homeless person while taking a selfie so they can put it up on Instagram. He's doing it purely because he loves it with no self-interest at all. And that's what makes Joe Gacy a good person.
They're actually different people, though. I'm trying to find the name of James Drake, but Zach Gibson is now Rip Fowler. So they're technically different souls. Love is blind.
Oh, no, that's like, yeah, they because it's a mental thing, Flo, but you've got to step away from who you once were. And you got to move away from who you once were and become a new person, right? It's okay. Kind of like in AA, the first thing you got to do is admit you have a problem. And this is right. the first part of changing your life is to cut ties with who you were and all the bad influences before that. And there's nothing healthier, Flobo, than when someone tells you to cut ties with all your loved ones and change who you are and follow their guidance specifically.
Dylan Matthews says Coach Joe Gacy is a good-hearted person. Cameron Grimes disagrees. But you know who's not a good-hearted person? Jack! Grayson Waller effect. No, you're terrible. Grayson Waller had his own show where a camera was on him the entire time. And he brought out Apollo. Apollo! And, well, to your point earlier about the index thing, I did like the fact that Grayson Waller took Apollo to task of his many different characters over the 2 years or so. But I remember there was a time when Grayson Waller had the rocket. He was the guy. And even though Apollo Crews is a multi-time champion, I think having a talk show now, post lashing out, maybe a step back for the Grayson Waller effect.
How do you consider this not having the rocket when they devoted so much time and production to Grayson Waller? He didn't just have time on the microphone, he just have a show. He's the only show in the history of WWE to have a desk, like a real talk show, to have multiple cameras on him at all times. This right now, NXT, they are throwing numbers at Grayson Waller. They are throwing a budget at Grayson Waller because they know that he is a big deal. And the fact that he got a former Intercontinental Champion as his first guest, I mean, this guy's already pulling stars. So a Nigerian prince, his first guest. How many Nigerian princes has The Tonight Show had? Jimmy Fallon, when was the last time you had a Nigerian prince on?
People were asking that question. Is that a question that says
David Letterman, how many Nigerian how often do you interview royalty, Jay Leno? Because Grayson Waller interviews royalty 100% of the time.
Before the purists jumped down my throat in the chat, Jack is well aware Tuesday Night Titans had a desk, but he's talking about having a desk in the ring. So please don't come out at me and be like, bro, you said. But look, that's
way before my time.
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. I'm helping out the old cat.
I was born in 1997.
Yeah, you're totally born in 1997. We went right to the theater to see The Phantom Menace. Like, sorry, Ma, I'm out. So Apollo. Like Chuck, you're running. Like, I got to see Bob Ma.
I got to go see Judge
Hart. Well, look, I thought that Grayson was going to be the guy. He's not the guy, apparently, because Apollo Crews is going to make short work of him. You know Apollo's going to break him in half when it's all said and done.
Really? Because I haven't seen Apollo seeing that. Apollo typically can see this kind of stuff coming. He didn't see But Apollo didn't see the questions that were coming his way. He didn't see the way Grayson Waller is acting, and he has certainly not seen a win over Grayson Waller. So I think that Apollo Crews is in trouble. I think he knows he's in trouble, and I love that Grayson Waller asked the question, if you knew Diamond Mine was going to get laid out, how come you didn't do anything to stop him? How come you let them get mugged?
Can't argue with that. What I can argue is how the ending of the NXT UK Tag Team title match player, Gallus, going against Briggs and Jensen, which is going to be something kind of cool. I thought Gallus was going to walk away with the win, but Pretty Deadly gets involved. Diamond Mine gets involved. It's a whole big kerfuffle and rigmarole, my mom would say. No one really has a defending end. It was a no contest, but what's next for NXT UK Championships?
It's looking like we've got a bunch of people all wanting a shot at those titles, and it looks like a lot of people don't like each other. This is what I like. I love chaos. I love anarchy. I love it when everybody wants to beat each other up. Gallus, technically, with a win over the champs. So I would say they should get another shot. But at the same time, Pretty Deadly are involved. And anytime Pretty Deadly is involved in anything, I say, they get the right of way.
Okay. Worlds Collide is on the horizon. Would you want a four-way tag team match, or is that too busy for 2.0?
You know, I would say that the NXT UK champions have a history of winning four-way elimination matches. And so if I'm the champions and I got some stroke, I would say, yeah, let's do a four-way elimination match. Last team standing. All titles on the line.
Well, Frib has a very cool stat. 3 former UK tag champs at 2.0. Very exciting times. Oh, I kind of sad for Mandrews and Flash Morgan Webster, but it's all good.
It shows me what I love about that is it shows me we've been fans of NXT UK. We've sung its praises, but seeing the success of so many people from there stateside, I think is proof just how good it was.
And I hate to give you credit because I hate telling nice things about you to your face, but you have a really good eye for talent because you're like Pretty Deadly, star, they came over. Gallus, star, they came over. And yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Somebody who had a good night on this show was Tyler Bate. Had a match against Von Wagner, which I will say is the best Von Wagner match I've seen in a while, but he also stared down the NXT champ, and they got that unification title match signed. Now, Worlds Collide is a day after Clash at the Castle, the same day as AEW All Out. The whole world probably not be watching this one, but I know I will be. Can Tyler Bate walk away the unified NXT champion?
Absolutely. He absolutely can. Will he? I don't know. But I think he's got every single thing you need to be the champion. I'd love to see him win the title. I think he's someone that would really shake up NXT 2.0. I think he's someone that would really change the perspective of what you think you're going to get from NXT 2.0. I think he'd get a lot of people tuning in. I'd love to see it. Braun Breaker, though. I mean, come on. No. Where are my dogs at? You know?
Oh, Lord. Okay. So I've been reading online. I mentioned the show a couple times that, you know, they told me that Braun's a star, and I'm inclined to agree. But you cannot deny there's a bit of middling with the crowds compared to other talent on the show. And the IWC are saying he's boring, bro. Question, is there something that Braun is missing, or is it come from this deep-rooted hate that people have that he's not Rex Steiner?
There's a little bit of both. I think there's some deep-rooted hate that he's not Rick Steiner. I think there's a lot of people who hate the name or the idea that he is the reason for not having the black and gold brand anymore or whatever the case is. I'll tell you the real thing that he's missing, though, is competition. He's missing matches that are titillating, as Maximum Male Models would say. All his matches feel like foregone conclusions. You know, I mean, even Roman Reigns, when he has matches, as dominant as Roman Reigns is, there's always that little part in the back of your head's like, what if, whenever he has a match? What
True.
If?
True.
With Braun, I don't have that. He's just he's running over these people.
I mean, JD McDonough was a number one contender twice. He thought he could have beat Ilya Dragunov. Why did it seem like a foregone conclusion he was going to lose against Braun?
Because he didn't have enough time to get that momentum going, didn't have enough time to get moving. The only person that has the kind of momentum that would make me seriously question Braun Breaker right now is Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo is the only one on that roster that I look at and like that he has the kind of momentum that would make me think he might have Braun's number. Everyone else, because Braun Breaker is such a fighting champion, as soon as someone looks like they have an opportunity, he takes them on and then he crushes them. Yeah. I think that Braun Breaker is someone that if he had competition, if he was having matches where we were second guessing, I think we'd all love him. But because he's so dominant, we feel like we want to root for the underdog. And that's the thing that's hurting him.
Here's a little bit of doom and gloom. With the return of some of NXT 2.0 talent and seemingly a shift in the vision, can an act like Braun Breaker work in a field of Karrion Crosses and Garganos and Ciampas today? Let me ask.
Yes, I think so. I think that from a physical standpoint, Braun Breaker is a once-in-a-generation kind of person. I think his combination, you know, not to sound corny, but his combination of speed and strength and snap and as Jim Ross used to say, his suddenness, the fact that he can like his, you know, 0 to 60 is so fast and he can do so much in that ring. I think that is he going to cut a Rock promo? No. But I think that when you see what he does in that ring, he just feels unstoppable. And I've said before, he reminds me of this generation's Brock Lesnar, because I think the same things of when I saw Brock Lesnar physically, he was just undeniable. I think that's where Braun Breaker is.
Dylan Matthews says, I think the crowd will turn on Braun Breaker fast on the main roster. And then Mod Santu says, Braun is a Ryback of NXT. Feed him more opponents. Okay, I get it. But in the interest of time, Jack, it's not time for that burning questions. These are things I've come across when I've been watching 2.0. I need your help. Help me suss two things. You down?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Chase Yu seemingly has the biggest pickup ever in Charlie Dempsey, but I'm getting kind of these Statch Can vibes. What say you?
I think that Charlie Dempsey has been looking at the tape of the greatest coach of all time. That's right. Roderick Strong, his style fits the Roderick Strong Diamond Mine style to a T. They look perfect together, I bet.
I just love Roderick's like, hey, guys, listen to me. Don't listen to me. Listen to me. I'm Roderick Strong. It's like, shut up, Roddy. Worlds Collide is back, and so is the rock music. Is this the end of hip-hop on NXT 2.0?
Dan South, rock. Yeah, I mean, I don't, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if it's the end, but I think hopefully they just switch it up. I think the best case scenario is you're getting multiple styles. When you have the same style, because the main roster does this too, where it's like, oh, a current pop song. Oh, current pop song. Oh, current. And it makes it so they feel the same. It's nice when you have the hip hop and then you have the rock and then you have the pop, you know, and it's always like, oh, what's the vibe? And it makes it feel different and new. What I hated about the past main roster is they had the Weeknd for like three WrestleManias in a row, and it's like, okay, it's the Weeknd, it feels the same. But when you so hope I like that it's different.
Side question, did you like the time when they were doing like the NXT Loud, like the undiscovered artist, or do you like to know your bangers going in?
I'm indifferent. I kind of like both. I sometimes like when, because then that song feels like that is the song of that thing, as opposed to going back to the Weeknd. Like, I like the Weeknd, but when they play the song, you're like, this isn't WrestleMania's song. This is just a pop song.
I sacrifice.
As opposed to when it's like an unknown artist, like, oh, this is the song of this thing. But at the same time, it's also fun. We're like, oh, they got a cool song that I know. I don't know. I'm indifferent.
So we got ourselves at the Fish of Worlds Collide. It's going to be a three-way dance triple threat match for the NXT and NXT UK Women's Championship. Mandy Rose, Blair Davenport, and the final boss, Mako Satomura. These are three ladies that I have not seen in the ring together, but they offer something different. Is there a possibility, however slight, that Mako walks away with both championships?
And that absolutely is a possibility. Mako Satomura is one of the best of all time.
She is, but there's two people coming at her from different sides of the ring.
I'm not saying she will win. I mean, the person who's going to be the one to unify those champions is the person that was born to unify those championships. And that's Blair Davenport. That's what's going to happen. But Mako's one of the best of all time. She absolutely could be the one to
she
do
has a bit of a disadvantage because Blair Davenport took her to the limit before being injured, and there is toxic attraction on Mandy's side. I'm not hating on Mako, chat. I'm just saying. I'm putting it out there. Odds, probability.
Burning questions. Does Flobo hate Mako Sodom?
That question sucks. Stop doing that. what do you make of Alpha Fire's promo this week?
I thought it was cool. I think that Alba Fire is someone who is very talented and very good, and I want to see used more. I do feel like we're starting to get a few too many introduction promo, small rivalry, off TV, introduction promo, small rivalry. I want to see some momentum. I want to see some back-to-backs, if that makes sense.
The only kid alliance here. Your boy here. Mike Wexler says, pretty question to the G-Jack Farmer, because he knows damn well he won't ask me this question. Do you believe Zion Quinn will become NXT champion before the end of the year?
No.
Because he lost to Axiom on Level Up last week, Mike. Watch the show.
I don't think that Zion Quinn is not even a shot at him. There's just not that much time left in 2022, to be totally honest. And I can't see him beating Bron Breakker at this point and not being having that momentum to beat Bron Breakker that quickly. And I can't imagine whoever beats Bron Breakker will lose it in 2 months or 3 months. You know what I mean? So I just don't think, regardless of feelings of Zion, I just don't think he's positioned properly.
I live long enough to see JD McDonough turn to Kenny Williams. Why is that, Jack?
Because he's a cockroach.
Answer me. Answer my questions. I just was kind of weird. He's wearing the shirts now. He's Kenny all kind of slimy. Reminds me of Kenny Williams. Moving on. It looks like Wesley is a happier guy these days. Maybe something may change, if you know what I'm saying.
No. What?
The return of MSK.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was hanging out with the champs. I figured that put anyone in a good mood. So he did seem very smiley and friendly. And you're right. He has been on a bit of a woe is me, times are hard run. So it was nice to see him put that behind him and get to laughing. But you know what he wasn't doing? Winning matches. You can't laugh until you're winning matches, Wesley. Go to the ring, win some championships, and then you can laugh and goof around.
Oh, Bobby Knight Jack over here. Here's a question.
Speaking of Chase you.
why is Cora Jade such a meanie? Why?
A meanie?
Yeah, she has a little black candlestick. She's all like, meh. Roxanne, you suck. Why is she so mean?
Wow, how long have you been working on that impression?
Oh, man, days.
Look, all Cora Jade is doing is what she should have done from day one, and that's look out for number one. Cora Jade knows that this isn't a friend business. It's the wrestling business. And so she's getting wins. She's probably number one contender after this triple threat match. I think she's absolutely doing the right things. I think she's smartened up.
And lastly, what do you make of Hank Walker? Here's somebody that wrestles on Level Up that somehow has to take a day job working security at the wrestling dojo, but somehow is a very chivalrous man that's a big body hobby.
I don't like that he's getting in big body hobby's business.
He's so angry when you said that.
I mean, look, big body hobby's out here working, wrestling, doing all this stuff. Maybe if Mr. Security Guard was worried about doing actual security, like stopping Wendy Chu from being a menace, maybe he wouldn't have to be a security guard. Maybe he could be a pro wrestler, but he's so busy getting involved in everyone's business. Why is he there? Why wasn't he at ringside? That's where the action is. Why wasn't he in the parking lot? That's where we need security.
Hey, look, if I'm a security guard and someone's like, there's an unsanctioned match, I go, I'm going home early. That means I don't got to be there.
This guy just lurking around the catering area, waiting to jump into other people's business like a creep when he should be out in the parking lot protecting people where the danger is.
He's not Batman. What the hell do you want him to do? It's a guy named Hank Walker.
I mean, if he had a flashlight walking around, maybe there wouldn't be so many attacks that happen in the parking lot.
I kind of feel sorry for him because Nigel always says he's like Seth Rogen, and now I can't unsee it. That does it for this edition of Draped in Gold. I realize that Jock hates people, and he hates Wendy Chu for some reason. She's an innocent young lady who just deserves the world.
Yes, a menace.
To whom?
To anyone. Tiffany Stratton, for one.
She deserves it.
She does not deserve it.
You see that haircut she was wearing? She deserves it.
I plead the fifth.
I got nothing to say to that. Jack Farmer, where can the world find you online, man?
You find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media.
So dumb. Avlobo Boys, DrapedInGold.com. Next week, we're tackling the final episode, as we know it, as NXT UK. So you want to be around for that every Thursday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, DrapedInGold.com. But until that time, Jack Farmer, hear the words.
Do your best and be yourself.